I haven't figured out how I'm going to deal with the name of your band on air, by the way.
Whatever it takes. I totally understand. I did radio for years, and I would always have the same problem when I had to discuss the band with f-ups.
I mentioned this interview to one of my colleagues, and their immediate response was, oh, have they ever been pressured to change the name?
I think our parents did early on, but like this becoming a career or becoming anything sort of real was such an outside chance in hell of actually happening that I don't think anyone was like, oh, this, you should change your name. It's going to keep you back from commercial success, because this band, I think it's the last band on earth anyone thought would have achieved any sort of success.
And yet, you know, you have achieved a hell of a lot. You've got like endless amounts of critical acclaim.
It's shocking. Like I'm really I'm living my dream.
Start with what you just told me off air, which is that you are a fan of Australian punk, but also Flying Nun, the New Zealand label, and you were telling me that you're reading Shane Carter's book at the moment.
Yeah, I think it was around 1999 I started working at this video store, and the manager of the video store was like, oh, do you know this band, The Chills? And I'm like, no, never heard of them. And he gave me this really kind of cockeyed look. And he's like, oh, you've got to hear him. And he played me, I think it was that Chills anthology that came out in America back in the early 90s, mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And from there, it was just like a whole world opened up to me. And I really feel like, you know, I don't know, is Kiwi pop like an offensive term to call it?
Not at all.
Is that like an outsider term?
No, not at all.
Okay. I think it's like the best music ever, like the best indie rock ever made. Like, I think the Bats are a perfect band. Like, when I close my eyes and I picture, like, what does perfect pop sound like? It's the Bats records.
We hear this so often from Canadian musicians like yourself, but also like a lot of American bands like Pavement and things like that are always citing Flying Nun as an influence.
It's just, there's just so much good stuff on it. Like normally, you know, you find out about a band you had never heard of and you're like, oh great, there's this band that I can dive into. But I think it's when you find out about Flying Nun, it's like a whole world of bands you can dive into. And there's like, I could make a list of the top 25 indie songs of all time, and I'd say half of them would be bands that were on Flying Nun. Like, you know, like there's just like the Verlaines, the Chills, the Clean, the Bats, 3Ds. Like, we just spend the whole time just naming off bands that all have incredible catalogs, but every single one of them has like a song that is just perfect.
Well, actually, if you had to name a favorite band from that roster that you just mentioned, who would it be?
Oh, I'd probably the Bats, but because I just think, like, the Bats are one of those bands that I've yet to find a bad record or a bad song.
Wow.
You know, like, and it's almost become a quest for me. Like, to find a song where I'm like, they gotta have, like, you know, like it's like a throwaway novelty track somewhere in this catalog. But I don't know, maybe I just haven't found it yet, but I'm searching because it's just all perfect.
Do you have a favorite song by the Bats?
Oh,
it's putting you on the spot, I know.
I know, I'm like, so many. If you're going to say, like, you pick your favorite Chill song, I'd say Pink Frost, because I think that's, like, a perfect song. But with the Bats, it's almost like I can just put on a whole record, like Daddy's Highway. I can just put that on and just, like, keep flipping the 12-inch over and over again type thing.
So you're obviously this voracious music fan and obviously a voracious fan of punk music. And, in fact, you host a podcast called Turned Out a Punk, which has been going for years now, and you have on guests like Kid Congo from The Cramps, Julian Baker, Sam Beam, who was Iron and Wine, and even people like Jack Black, the actor. This is as much of a gig for you now as f***ed up, it seems.
Yeah, it kind of has become, it was really weird. Like, I was a DJ, like I had a TV show for a second on Much Music, which is like, you know, the Canadian MTV. And when they canceled that show, I was like, well, I kind of still want to do stuff about music. And the podcast thing was just exploding or just starting to explode about that time. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. You know, a chance for me to truly punish these musicians that I like and just force them to talk about their punk past. And it's weird, like, how many people come from punk rock in some weird way, you know. And it's you know, they could have just been into it for a little bit, or they could have had been something that kind of carried through their whole life. But I'm just constantly shocked that, oh my gosh, Ben Stiller had a punk band. Oh my gosh, you know, Gillian Anderson was a punk rock model at one point. Like, there's just so many people that have come out of this thing and gone on to do other stuff in the world of pop culture that it's like an unending joy for me doing this podcast, because it's just another way for me to learn more about this punk minutia that I'm obsessed with. Take me off.
Did you have a definitive moment in your, I guess, adolescence that you know, steered you down this path? I guess what I'm trying to say is, did it turn you into a punk?
Yeah. I think for me it was, you know, once again, like I said before, there's stuff that's floating around your head and you're just kind of waiting to hear it actualize. And I really feel that's what it was like with punk rock. Like, I just, you know, I was a fan of music and I was definitely listening to music my whole life. My parents were both really into music, so it was always around me. But it wasn't until I heard punk rock, and actually probably the first time I heard it was my dad was playing it. And it was through there that I was kind of beginning to figure out that this is where I'm going to go. Like, this is what I'm going to ultimately be into for the rest of my life. And then Sonic Youth, I think myself and many people kind of around my age, was the gateway for me. You know, they were the band they were connected to Nirvana and all this stuff that was kind of more mainstream, but yet they were doing like crime covers or they're doing like obscure Ramones covers, or they were doing like the deep dive work that I needed. So I just kind of, once I got into Sonic Youth, had an entry point to all this culture that I had been sort of lusting after since I heard it through my dad.
Mm. And you now have children of your own. Are you turning them into music fans?
I'm trying. I don't want to force them onto anything, because ultimately that will cause them to hate it.
True.
My Kiwi Core playlist of all Flying Nun records definitely gets played in the car a lot. I also have Damien's All Right, which is a collection of Midwest punk records that I've kind of put together as a playlist. And, you know, I'll put these things on for the kids, but they mainly want to hear 21 Pilots or Old Town Road, which is fine. You know, like, I want to make sure that I give them exposure to everything. And I also try and make sure that they hear stuff that I don't necessarily like. You know, like, we'll play old disco records in the car just so they have, you know, that exposure to everything. But, you know, Old Town Road is pretty hard for a six-year-old to deny right now.
If they sort of, you know, get into school and into their teens and they show no interest in music and they just want to get into, I don't know, academia or business, how are you going to feel about that?
I'd be so happy. Like, I think for me, it's just about finding something that gives you joy in this world. And for me, it was music. And if it's like my eldest son, he loves baseball, like loves baseball. And that's something that, if I'm being honest, I have no real passion for, but I love just seeing how excited he gets about it. Like, I will go to his baseball games and kind of get excited about the excitement more than I will about the actual sport happening in front of me. So, like, as long as they're happy and they find something that brings them joy and that they're passionate about, that'll make me happy. Like, it doesn't have to be music, that's for sure. Mm. In fact, if they could find something more sustainable than a career in music, I will be extra happy, because I'm going to need to line them for retirement.
Okay, I'm feeling ill. I'll never go back. I'll never get my life.
I cannot wait to come to New Zealand. I've only ever been there for 20 hours. So, hide your Flying Nun records. I was working on my top 10 list of Flying Nun songs the whole time. So, I'm like, in case you came back to me, I wanted to have a list in my head of songs to go to.
But can you tell me one now?
I think Pink Frost is my number one.
Okay.
And then while we were doing it, I quickly jotted down some notes. So, Claudine by The Bats, Swimming Pool by Toy Love, Anything Could Happen by The Clean, Death of a Maiden by The Verlaines. That song's incredible. Others Way by Double Happies. That song's a monster. That's probably the first Flying Nun record I ever got. And then I would have the 3D's Beautiful Things. Like, once again, it's just like a whole world of amazingness to get into. And so, like, 3D's, I'm like, oh my God, they've got so many records that I can go through now.
scared.